Hi, Jason. What's on your mind, sir?
Thanks, Dr. Wright. How are you? So, question regard to a couple of questions. For a friend of
Yes, sir.
mine, I remember you chatted some time ago about helping people release and clear their smoking addiction. Could you remind us, please, if you could?
Well, it only works sometimes, sir, but it has some very good logic behind it, and it does work sometimes too. Now, back when the B vitamins were first being investigated, back in the 30s and 40s, it was noticed that vitamin B3, which comes in two forms that in the United States are called niacin and niacinamide, vitamin B3, the structure of vitamin B3, particularly the niacin form, is so close to nicotine, which is the stuff that's addictive in tobacco smoke, as you know, that actually over in the UK, where this work was originally done, they didn't call it niacin, they called it nicotinic acid because it was so close to nicotine. All right, well, the so-called authorities here in these United States thought that we were all so stupid that we would think that nicotinic acid was actually nicotine, so they renamed it niacin for us. Now, the other form is called niacinamide, and that's close to the structure of nicotine too, but not quite as close as the nicotinic acid, aka niacin. So what has worked for some of the people that I work with is using some of both. Why? Because niacin itself sometimes can really make a hot flush reaction. I knew teenagers when I was a teenager who liked to give it to each other at Halloween, and they'd all turn bright red because all the blood vessels would dilate and they'd get all sweaty and so forth. But very fortunately, somebody came out with time release technology, and so if a person uses time release niacin, they're much less likely to get that kind of a reaction. And even if they do, by the way, which is rare, but they do, it goes away. It's not something that's permanent. It's just a very uncomfortable hot flush, kind of like you're having menopause if you're a lady. Okay, so anyway, I've recommended people that they get the time release niacin. And another thing that time release does is it releases slowly. Duh, it's time release. And that means there's niacin getting into the bloodstream for the whole length of the pill, and you'd have to read the pill to the particular brand of the pill, excuse me, to see how long they say that lasts. Well, what's the point here? The point is, why do we get addicted to nicotine? Because it clamps onto the niacin receptors, the nicotinic acid receptors, and stays there. And some of us, when those receptors are activated by the nicotine in the smoking, or the niacin, which is simply nicotinic acid, or even niacinamide, we feel better. I work with any number of folks, many of whom have type 2 diabetes, who tell me, when I take plain old niacinamide, mentally I just feel a little better. Sure, you're just stimulating the receptors the nicotine stimulates, and the only, quote, advantage, end quote, to nicotine is that the molecule hangs onto the receptors for much longer before you gotta go have another smoke because you're feeling a little restless. So anyway, if a person takes time-release niacin and tries to cover themselves around the clock, read how long it lasts, some people say it's a lot easier to quit smoking, and I'll shut up.
Thanks. And how much would you say, depending on the body weight, I guess, size of the person?
Not so much, sir. If it's an adult, and here we're definitely talking adults, and if it's an 18-year-old who's fully grown, that counts. Then Dr. Abram Hoffer taught us all that, and so did Dr. William Kaufman, that it's safe to use up to 3 grams a day for most adults, and that's what I recommend because those of us who can produce niacinamide and nicotinic acid internally, and that, by the way, is a lot of the population, our bodies obviously don't make that much. But when we swallow this stuff, a lot of it gets lost in the metabolism, doesn't get anywhere near the receptors. And what Kaufman and Hoffer both found is it was quite safe to use up to 3 grams a day, and the few people it wasn't safe for would always get a low-grade nausea. And if you get low-grade nausea when you're taking those vitamins, you got to back off. It's your liver telling you it's too much for me to process, sir or ma'am, whichever it is. But controlling, for example, osteoarthritis symptoms with a gram 3 times a day or a gram and a half time release twice a day is very, very possible. In fact, it works better 95% of the time. And Hoffer was having people come out of schizophrenia, I kid you not, sir, and he didn't have time release in his day, but he was using a gram three times a day. And if he got to somebody within 5 years of their diagnosis of schizophrenia, or they came in to see him within 5 years, he had an excellent chance of their schizophrenia going away in a few months with those doses of niacinamide, sir. Or he used niacin, but both of them will do the job.
So in the beginning you said you usually recommend to split, take a little bit of both, like half and half of each one?
Yeah, because I don't know which one does a better job. I really don't. I'm just guessing that nicotinic acid does because it's slightly closer to nicotine, but I can't tell you that for sure. And I can tell you that niacinamide, which never gives a person a flush, which is why I recommend it to people with osteoarthritis almost exclusively because it works so well, I can tell you that it works at that dose. And again, it's hitting the same receptors that nicotine hits.
Mm-hmm. Very good. All right. I appreciate that. And my other question was if you can share any insight, if you had any good experience with inguinal groin hernia healing, just on, you know, letting the body do its good job. Without the surgeries and things like that, anything you can share on that?
No, sir, and I've not heard anything at any of the conventions I've been to since, good grief, the 1970s. Hernias just seem to be a structural problem, and I've never heard a speaker tell me we can do anything other than surgery. I can't find anything in the books or in the old research papers. It's just a structural thing. It's kind of like when we're born with a hole in our heart, sir. Ultimately, we have to have surgery to patch that. Because apparently nature wasn't going to fix it while we were being gestated. So anyway, hernias are a structural weakness, and about all I know that will help is surgery. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. All right, I appreciate it. And one last question. Have you had a chance to go explore the Magnesium Advocacy Group articles on the iron toxicity and the vitamin D, hormone D related articles there?
Not yet, sir. I've got it on my list, but I've got so many things I've got to get going. I've got to get the newsletter out. We've got this radio program, working on a couple books. So I do have it on the list, so thank you very much for reminding me.
Thanks so much. All right, Doc.
Okay.
Thank you
for calling.